to the show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Off the Mats Podcast. Hi, everybody. Happy Monday. If you're listening to it on Monday, if you're listening to it any other day, whatever. Happy day. So our guest today is actually another Instagram mutual, and I've actually gone to their gym and got thrashed by everyone there. It was fun, but I've actually been meaning to have this person on the podcast for a while. It's just every time I remember to speak to them, it's like I get, you know, sidetracked with something else, and then it's like, okay, let me reach out to them, and then I'll think like, okay, I got it now. But this time I finally got, it's like, we got this under control. I reached out. She said, yes. I was like, yes. So here we are. So my guess for this episode is number one ranking grappling industries at Purple Belt. I'd like to welcome to the show, Miss Rochelle. Hello, Rochelle. Thank you for doing this. And how are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me. This is a new experience for me. So I'm excited and nervous.
You'll be fine. I always tell people the first 5 to 10 minutes is pretty, like, even every time I record, I'm nervous for those first 10 minutes. Once we get about that 11 minute mark, we start rolling, we're talking, and da da da. You forget you're recording. Sometimes people say some shit where it's like, oh, can we get that out?
Yeah. And
it's all, I always can. I always do. But hey, it's cool. You'll be all right. I don't ask questions that are like Wendy Williams type intrusive questions, like, you know, that try to get people frustrated. I want everybody, when they come on here, I want them to be happy. I want people to have a good time. I want people to say, you know what, I'll do that show again. I feel like you go on Wendy Williams, you're like, she asks fucked up questions. I'm not going back to her again. So yeah. I think that's her goal anyway. She doesn't like people and they don't like her. But either way, I'm glad that you're able to do this. And I know back when I came out there to visit you all at Shark Pit, like the last location, I know you all moved to a new location. Mm-hmm. My initial ideal was I wanted to come out there, roll with you all at open mat, and then record if possible. But I'm just not coordinated like that. So I'm just going to go to open mat. And then I thought about when you are opening a new location. I was like, okay, there's an opportunity there. And then my work schedule got goofy, and then I ended up changing jobs. And now I'm just like, you know what? Let's just go do the podcast. Don't have to go out there and roll. Like I'd still like to come back out there and roll with you guys at open mat and show you guys I'm not trash. Okay, I was just having a bad day. It was a long drive, and
yeah, it is a long drive. It's okay. You do have to come out and see our new spot, though. It's beautiful. It's way bigger. It's not just a room in a sportsplex building. It's a whole spot. We got a lot of room. It's very nice.
Well, there's a charm to you know, the little room inside oh, yeah. the gym, though. There's just this feel to it where it's like we are connected. We're coming up together in this. And then when you get to the bigger locations, like, we built this. Mm-hmm. This is us. So, but I definitely want to come out to the new location for sure. And, you know, maybe sooner rather than later. But for you, one of the things I wanted to, you know, kind of just talk about and learn is, you know, about your jiu-jitsu journey. You know, for starters, what drew you to Brazilian jiu-jitsu, you know, in the first place?
So I was actually the last person in my family to start training. My husband trained first, and he's been into martial arts most of his life. He did Taekwondo growing up. His dad was a Marine and studied all sorts of martial arts. So my husband got into jiu-jitsu probably like 8 or 9 years ago at least, and was actually training in a basement with his friend who was a purple belt. And so he would just go over there. They would train. Occasionally someone else would come and train with them, but for the most part, it was my husband kind of, getting beat up by the same purple belt over and over and over again. And then I finally got him a gym membership, so he could train with more people. And then our kids both started training. My son and my daughter both started training, and I would go and I would watch. I had gone once into the basement that he was training in, but I was terrified of forward rolls for some reason. That was not something I ever wanted to do, and of course we had to do them. And I ended up, like, I don't know, rolling weird and hurting myself, and I was not happy and I didn't want to go back. But eventually, after he was training and watching him and my kids train, I decided, okay, I would give this a try. And we actually, I made my husband show me stuff in our basement because I didn't want to walk in day one. You know, I think a lot of people don't like feeling like they don't know anything when they're walking into a room full of people. I'm definitely one of those people. So he showed me stuff in our basement with his sister too. So the three of us were kind of rolling in our basement. No gi to start. I don't think I put a gi on until the day before my first actual class. So it was really mostly no gi in the basement. And then probably once or twice a week for a couple months, we would do that. And then I finally got up the nerve to go to an actual gym, and it was fun and way less awkward than I thought it would be. I've loved it ever since. That was almost 6 years ago. So yeah, and now I'm at the gym more than most people. You know, I'm there usually every day, maybe one day not, but sometimes multiple times a day. Yep, and here we are.
There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, if you love what you're doing, you know, you do it more and more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody says, like, man, you know, I love running, but I only do it once a year. It's like, it's not like you love it. Like, but, you know, it's crazy, the whole forward roll thing, because I know a few people who, you know, are hesitant to do forward rolls. And it's just like, I don't know, like, can't relate, don't understand it. But I've seen, like, so when you said, I was like, oh wow, that's not just the, like, I know two others.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I thought it was just them, and they're fucking with us.
It's
like,
nope. It's no, something like, I'll take backward rolls over forward rolls any day. I mean, now I'm fine, but I don't know. Like, I've never liked just falling towards the ground face first, even if it's slow and not from very far up. I mean, I'm still like, I still don't like getting, like, balloon swept or, you know, like fireman's carries. I hate fireman carry takedowns, like anything like that, where, like, I am going towards the ground. I hate it. So I don't know. It's just some weird ingrained fear I have. And of course, same thing happened when I finally decided to come in for a class. I told my husband, I'm like, I still don't want to do forward rolls. I'm like, I hate forward rolls. And he's like, oh, we never do those. Don't worry, we never do those. And then my first class, that was one of the warm-ups, was forward rolling down the mat. And he's like, I swear we never do these. But, you know, it worked out. I was all right.
Our Saturday class, part of why I love going to the Saturday class is because our warm-up is, you know, we run, we loosen our body up, you know, loosen our hands up and our wrists and stuff, and then we do grip fighting as our warm-up. No forward rolls, not one in sight.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it because our Friday class, it's like the normal line drills. All right, give me two lines or three lines or however many lines. Give me forward rolls, backward rolls, you know, cartwheels, shrimping, which I don't mind doing any of these things. I just don't like doing them in a line like that because you got the one white belt behind you. Has got to be the fastest. And it's like, son, relax. Like, you're not very good at most things.
Yeah, you don't have to forward roll through me. It's okay, buddy.
I think, what was it, yesterday, I did no-gi, and you know, it was a pretty decent pace group. You know, we did our four rolls, and when I do four rolls, I don't do them like, you know, the step-by-step way that, you know, you're supposed to do them, like, you know, lead with your shoulder and then roll. No, I just do like a straight head dive and tuck at the last second. And one time I didn't tuck fast enough. And It's pretty commonly known that I face plant a lot when I train, and that it was like, okay, I got it out the way. But, when we got the cartwheels, and I can do cartwheels pretty well. I'm not afraid of cartwheels, but my left shoulder is kind of funky. But I didn't do cartwheels last week, and I think they're looking at me like, oh, this old dude can't do cartwheels. What a joke. So yesterday I was like, all right, let me show these motherfuckers. Like, so I did a cartwheel, and immediately the sharp pain goes to my shoulder. I was like,
oh no.
One of the guys goes, well, at least it looked good. Like, yeah.
See, it wouldn't even look good if I was doing it. I do not. Cartwheels are a whole other thing. It's like all these things that you think of, like little kids gymnastics. Somehow those are the things I do not want to do.
It's funny because I always like clown doing cartwheels. And then when I do, you see someone do a cartwheel pass. I was like, well, I'm not doing that. So I shouldn't have to do cartwheels during warm-ups. Yep. So that guy can go do cartwheels all they want and do your cartwheel passes all you want. But I'm not doing that. I was like, well, you're probably going to need the forward roll though at some point.
You know, yeah.
More often than not, I guess.
Yeah, I've used those a time or two. I guess they make sense ultimately.
Yeah, I think, today in training, there was a position where I should have talked for a forward roll again, face plant. So it's just, I mean, and the guy who did it, he was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I was like, don't be sorry.
Like, yep.
You didn't do it. You did what you're supposed to do. I did. And I just fell on my face. And
yep. It's like, I know not to look directly at the ground, but somehow I still do it sometimes. If you catch me off guard, I'm going to face plant.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a point at a point now with me where it's just like, if I don't face plant at any point early, I know that I'm due. And I'm like, let me just get this shit out the way. You know, it's Friday.
Do it on my terms.
Yeah. Like, let me do it now. Cause I know Saturday morning when it's rough and tumble, I don't want to get thrown.
Mm-hmm. To my face.
So, but hey, that's jiu-jitsu for us.
Yep.
So with your training in jiu-jitsu and everything, besides forward rolls and cartwheels, what were some of the more challenging things that you experienced, you know, just kind of coming up in the ranks?
I mean, like with training, you know, there's stuff like takedowns. I'm still scared of takedowns. It's one of those things where it's like, I want to do them, but I'm also so scared of getting hurt. But I mean, coming up as a girl in the ranks, and I mean, I was 30, you know, I started training in the basement right before I turned 30. So I was 30 by the time I stepped out on the mats, which 30 doesn't feel old until you roll with people that aren't 30. And then you're like, okay, yeah, maybe I am getting up there. And just still being the only girl in the room a lot of times. And we had a solid group ladies, even when I started, we had a couple women that trained a lot. But you know, you're not always in the same class. So it would be cool if one or two other girls were there, but usually I would be the only one. But I don't know. I guess it didn't feel that bad because we've always had a good group of guys too. They always took care of me. Never made me feel like they didn't want to train with me or anything like that. So I think mentally it was probably more of a challenge than it actually was, you know, like it feels weird walking in and being the only girl, even when the other people don't make you feel uncomfortable for it. And I don't know, I think most of it was just the hardest part in the sport has always been myself, my own roadblocks that I put on myself, always wanting to be better. You know, like I'm a one stripe white belt. I don't know why I think I have to beat up these blue belt boys. Like it's probably not going to happen, but I feel like I need to, you know. Or then if I'm a blue belt, I feel like I need to beat up the one stripe boys, and that might not even always happen. So it's always been the pressure I put on myself. No one else, you know, ever made me feel like I had to be better than I was or anything like that. But, you know, always wanting to prove yourself, I guess, even when you don't necessarily need to.
I think you know, that is kind of one of those things we kind of all put on ourselves.
Mm-hmm. It's
like, I don't want to let someone down. I don't want to, you know, let coach down. I don't want to look foolish. I don't want to, you know, but then, like you say, though, there's a certain point where you have to stop and say, well, I'm a one stripe white belt, or, you know, I'm this far along in my game. Like, I shouldn't expect that I'm going to go out there and stunt on some purple belts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you go out there and get, like, beat down by a purple belt, that's probably part of what was supposed to happen.
Yeah.
You're learning, you know, you're learning, hey, okay. You know, it's like we're talking about back takes yesterday, and our coach was pointing out, it was like, we want to get to a position now as we're thinking about escaping the back takes. You want to chain that together with an attack, you know, or kind of at least going towards an attack, you know? So it's like, if, you know, you're able to get away, you know, or, you know, even if, you know, you've got their back and they escape from you, you know, you want to be working towards something else instead of like, okay, well, if they escape, you know, at least try to get the guard, you know, a neutral position, which is safe. He was like, well, you know, if you're, you know, white belt, you know, that's fine. But if you're a blue belt and up, you should be, you know, chaining something together, transitioning. And when he said, I was like, oh shit. Like, am I? Like, are you sure? Cause
yeah.
I mean, I'm not wearing a rash guard that gives my rank away. I'm wearing, like, I looked around, I was like, okay, everybody's wearing like the regular rash guard. All right. And then there's like one other blue belt there. He had on his blue belt rash guard. I was like, fuck. I was like, oh. He knows, but I don't know, because this is a new coach and I haven't trained under him, so I was like, he doesn't know anything. But he looked at me when he said it, and I was like, I think he knows, and I think he's calling me out.
Yeah,
but that's the thing, we put that in our own heads, though. It's like, like, he's watching me, meanwhile he's not. And then when you hit the move of the day, they're definitely not watching. I know, because I hit the move of the day today and I looked over, my coach was looking another direction talking to someone.
It's only when, like, you get hit with it, that's the only time they're looking.
Oh no, he saw when I got hit. Yeah, and I was just like, really? Because he even called it. I was like, yeah, the move of the day. And I was like, are you serious right now? Like, I just did it, like, you know, last roll, and you didn't see. But when it happened to me, you're just looking directly at me, it almost kind of like a look of disappointment too, like, you should know better.
Yeah.
But I don't.
Like, yep, it never fails. Coach is always looking when I'm letting the wipeout work, never when I'm like highlight reeling people.
Oh, I've decided now, when I'm letting the white belt work, I just say, hey, we're gonna flow roll, so we're moving at a pace where it's like coach can see, oh, he's letting them work.
Yeah,
it was like, except for yesterday when I got choked. I'm just like, like, I came home, was just like, my wife was like, I was training, it was all right. I got choked 3 times. It was kind of embarrassing, but it's all right, I'm fine. She was like, you went unconscious? Like, no, it's just I got choked 3 times in front of coach. My white belts. And she was just like, she doesn't care. She was just like, oh. Yeah, I'm just gonna go to the basement. I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah,
but I don't know. We'll see. Next week, I'm gonna show up, and I'm just taking it to all the white belts. So I know they're younger than me and they're stronger, but I'm hill hooking. Like, they don't know it yet, but like, they're about to feel my wrath.
They're gonna learn. It's fine.
And that coach loves leg locks, so he's probably gonna be like, oh yeah, good job. And then we're like, but you're a white belt. I was like, son, I'm not. Like, I'm a subpar blue belt. So, like, but I can still do hill hooks. Like, how do you approach training? Like, you know, getting ready. Do you have like a set routine of, like, you know, focus area? You know, just, you know, like, if you're working on a move of the week, are you specifically like kind of working to pepper that into your game, or do you have something that you're like, look, I know what I do already, I'm going to sharpen that tool and, you know, try to get the move of the day in there as well, but I want to stay focused on, you know, what I know and kind of strengthen that, I guess.
For me, it usually depends on if I'm getting ready to compete or if I'm just training for fun. And if I am getting ready to compete, it usually depends on which rule set I'm getting ready to do. So like ADCC, I just did an ADCC open. So I was trying to do a lot of, even if I was in the gi, I was trying not to rely on gi grips a lot. I was trying to think like I'm in no gi, and, you know, thinking about ways to work the point system, because their point system's kind of weird. So if I got people's back, you know, I would let a hook out for a few seconds and then get the hook back in and stuff like that, because they let you game the points that way. I mean, you know, sub only, obviously, you know, when I'm rolling for fun, especially the last couple like years, you know, white belt, blue belt, I always wanted the sub. Now I'm more positional, you know, I'm not always going for a sub on people. But if I'm training for a sub only rule set, then now I'm trying to finish subs on people. You know, I'm going from one sub to another if I lose one, stuff like that. I'm actually excited now, because after ADCC, I'm kind of easing off of competition, and it's fun for me because it's less pressure and I get to just go in the room and play around with new stuff, put myself in bad spots, see what I can come up with. And that's for me, that feels like when I grow the most, when I'm okay trying weird things, not always working, obviously. I'm going to get caught in some stuff. I'm going to be in bad spots. But that seems to be when I'm like playful, is when I find stuff that I'm like, okay, I could do this more. So I'm excited now, because like this week being back in training, that's what I get to do. I get to have fun. I'm not putting all that pressure on myself. But if a competition's coming up, I'm usually trying to work my good stuff, make it even better, sharpen all those edges. But I'll still, you know, if I'm going with newer people, I'm always usually starting down so that I can work on getting up, getting sweeps, getting out of bad positions, stuff like that. That's pretty much always, I feel like my bottom game can always use work. So I am happy to start on the bottom and either get squished for 5 minutes or figure out a way to get out of there.
And that's the thing, is like, if you don't figure out a way, this is going to be a long 5 minutes. So
yeah,
eventually you get better at that. When we got, I got promoted to blue belt, and one of my other teammates, he got promoted, I want to say like 2 weeks later. And I remember there was a following class where we were working on escaping side control, and coach made us, we had two different groups, and we were to teach them our techniques to get out. And I was like, I don't know that you want me to do that, because usually I just kind of wait it out until they get tired. And that sounds weird, because it's like, well, they're in top position, like, no, they're spamming submissions, they're gonna get exhausted. And I'm like, yeah. But I had a couple escapes that I didn't know that I had. And I didn't even know they were real escapes. I thought it was just bullshitting. Yeah. And I was like, oh, okay, that's a good one. I was like, really?
I think that's most of my jiu-jitsu.
Yeah. I'm certain most of my jiu-jitsu is just something that I'm just like, this should work. I hope it works.
And then maybe.
When it doesn't, it's like, that's not even jiu-jitsu. I don't know. You know, but I think, you know, as you know, upper belts, it's weird to say blue belt as upper belt, because I still feel like I'm learning. Like I'm like, we're always learning, but I feel like as a blue belt, I'm just always like, oh, that's fascinating. It's like, dude, you've been doing this for how many years? It's like, it shouldn't be fascinating, you should know that. It's like,
yeah.
But I do feel like there's certain points, though, you know, when you have some color on your belt, you know, it's like working those bad positions to kind of figure out, like, okay, well, you know, how would I get out of this? And even if you're like, I know how to get out of this, you still got to sharpen it. You know, you still got to, you know, it's like a pencil. Go up to the pencil sharpener. Teacher, can I go sharpen my pencil? Yes. And then you go work on, you know, escaping side control. So I'm here with the metaphors. I got this.
I'm loving it.
In your opinion, what sets jiu-jitsu apart from other martial arts?
I mean, I'm going to be biased because I haven't honestly trained other martial arts. You know, I've seen my husband and all of he's trained several. I think for me, it's just the vastness of it. Like, you know, he'll talk about Taekwondo and he got his black belt in Taekwondo when he was young, but you know, it was a lot of kata. It was a lot of memorizing the different techniques. Which you do in jiu-jitsu kind of to learn the moves, to drill them and stuff like that. But there's so many variables. And then there's just so many techniques. Like, I mean, just an arm bar, there's so many different ways to do it. And I like the creativity aspect that can go into it too. Like if you know how to do an arm bar, even if you don't learn how to do it from every position, eventually it's like your body kind of figures it out and you'll catch arm bars that you've never actually learned before, but you just know the mechanics, your body kind of knows what to do. And I probably get more arm bars in weird spots than I ever do in, you know, close guard or mount, you know? But there just is so much. Like even after years and years and years of training this martial art, I will see a move that I've never seen before, or learn a move a different way than what I was taught before, and suddenly it clicks. And I mean, even my head coach, you know, I've trained under him the whole time that I've trained, and I go to his classes every week, and I've seen him teach the same stuff over and over again. And then recently I've seen him show a lot of stuff that I've never seen him show before. And that's cool. Like that's so fascinating to me because you don't get bored, you know, like there's just so many different styles out there. And, I think the community is really awesome too. Like just being able to do what we're doing right now. And just, you know, there's so many gyms in our area that we're friends with and that we like to cross train with. And, you know, I know that wasn't always the case. And there's still some like traditional style schools out there, which we are not. and I like that. Like we're chill. We like going and training with other schools. We like being friends with other schools. We don't need to dojo storm, you know? but just the practical application of it too, you know? Obviously not all jiu-jitsu is self-defense applicable. But I do think even if I'm not going to go and pull guard and barambolo someone on the street, just the body mechanics that I do get to work help a lot. And the confidence it gives you, you know, like just not walking around in this like shelled up sort of container where people can tell that they could mess with you and do something. Like, I think it does bring out a confidence in most people where others don't really want to mess with them. For the most part, at least, you know, you get some drinks and some people and they might still, but, yeah, I just, like, especially like I help teach the kids classes and I think that's where you see it a lot. And like women too, like teaching the women's class and seeing what a drastic impact it can have on people's ability to just feel comfortable having a voice, you know, saying no to people, standing up for themselves in very, very basic ways. It's a huge change for some people. And I think that's, you know, I think all martial arts can give you a sort of confidence, but I think in jiu-jitsu, I see it in a way where even if you don't have to use it, you could. Like you could figure out, okay, create space, use my legs, control posture, like all of these things that are very important for self-defense scenarios.
I'm glad you said that because I try to explain that all the time to you know, friends who don't train, you know, family. It's like, you know, they'll watch, you know, jiu-jitsu with me and it's like, you know, that's not practical in self-defense. It's like, oh yeah, like you said, like no one's inverting in yeah. Street fights. If they are, oh my God, they're getting stomped in. Like, you know,
maybe if the person attacking you is really bad, like if you're just toying with them, maybe.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, if you're like super high level, you know, you can just do whatever you want. Maybe it's still risky.
Yeah.
But I always try to explain, it's like just understanding body positioning, creating space when to close, you know, up space, you know, creating pressure, you know, things like that, that regular folks, they're not going to understand. Like, you know, it's like, oh, you know, you've got mount, and like, oh, you're just sitting there. Like, anytime we watch a movie and someone gets mounted, I'm like, oh my God. like right now where they're sitting, they're on their hips, just bridge.
Yeah.
You're out. Like, oh, they're a little higher, create some frames, get the half guard. You know, something. My wife was like, just could you not jujitsu the show right now?
Just, oh, yeah. I love it. Watching anything with my husband, if there's a fight scene, I just kind of look at him and I just wait to see what he's going to say. Like, I think there's maybe one or two things that we've ever watched where he wasn't just completely humiliated by how bad the rear naked choke or, you know, mount or something was. Like, rear naked chokes especially, he's always having a struggle when a choke comes on.
We watched something not too long ago where somebody had a really decent rear naked choke, but the problem with it is like the person that they were choking was still like, it was like, well, I mean, it looks decent, but obviously it's not because that person's still fighting.
Yeah.
That person should be asleep in any second now, but they weren't. I mean, I get it. It's a movie, sure, but you know, there are times you just see things and it's like, that it's not how that works.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's a whole different process there. Like, then there was a horror movie I was watching though. I know I took a video of it, but somebody did invert, like they're on a subway. And I was like, what the like, what did I just see? So yeah. I rewound it, took a video, and I keep forgetting to send it to my buddy. I was like, yo, this was in a horror movie. It's like, oh no, I think they inverted and then they went to like single leg X.
Nice.
And I was like, it wasn't a fighting movie, it was a zombie movie.
Yeah.
But I was like, that's really interesting that happened.
I'm yeah.
excited. Like, I'm really happy for them.
did you ever see the Attack on Titan jujitsu?
I have not.
It's actually, it's exciting. It's fun to watch. Like, I remember, I want to say I watched Attack on Titan first before I started training, but I think my husband was already training. So he was like stoked because it's actually, there's some pretty good jiu-jitsu in Attack on Titan. And it's fun to watch. There's like a whole, like, I think there's like a Kimura and some takedowns and maybe an armbar. It's been a while, but it's actually pretty fun. It's a whole fun sequence, and I think they've done it a couple times actually in a couple different fight sequences. But as far as animated jiu-jitsu, that's definitely some of the best I've seen.
I feel like my buddy maybe has sent it to me or mentioned it to me.
Yeah.
And you know, anytime, you know, it gets brought up, I'm just like, okay, sure, whatever, buddy. Although I should trust him because he didn't train jiu-jitsu. He's done lots of different martial arts. And I believe his wife actually used to train at our gym like many years before I started training.
Yeah.
She just stopped because of the commute. You know, it wasn't conducive to her life. I've been trying to convince her, you know, like, come on, dude, it's fun. Everybody's, I mean, her commute is actually worse now. But I'm still like, come on, dude, you can do this. You can make this. I mean, you know, come on, please. Like, cause like she's like super jacked and like she's like a bodybuilder. So I'm like, I just want to fight you.
Just do it for me.
I think I can take you. And she's like, well, you probably can because I was only a white belt and I wasn't a good one. I was like, yeah, but it's like riding a bike. You never forget. Like, come on, let's fight. She's like, no. And also, to be fair, I am a little intimidated by her, not because of like all the muscles, but like she's always kind of had this scowl on her face where I'm like, I think she's mad. Meanwhile, she's actually very, very friendly.
Yeah. It's that resting bitch face. It'll get you.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I think the first words I ever said to her was like, we're having pizza and there's pizza sitting in front of her. And I go, hey, are you going to eat that? And she's like, no. And I just walked up and like palmed the pizza and like walked. I was like, eh. And since then we've been friends ever since. But it's like, I always feel like even when we're engaging, like friendly conversation, I'm always like, I got a feeling if I say the wrong thing, she might knock me out. And I don't know how I feel about this. Like, I'm a little concerned, which is why I'm like, look, like, just come over to the gym, sign a waiver. I just want to establish my dominance and let you know that I'm not the one you're going to be punking around this house. Like, I got a feeling she'll probably break my arm. So I don't know. Maybe those
are the fun ones, though. Like the bodybuilders and stuff. Those are the ones to test you for sure.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's the, you know, the folks that come into the gym. It's like, well, that would never work on me because I'm this and I'm that. And it's like, okay. Like, you can believe that if you want. I've told my wife that I don't know that I want to have conversations. And I don't think I'm a fight expert by any means. No. But when my friends and I were sitting around watching movies or something, and, you know, we started talking about the fight scene, it's like what you're saying isn't going to work. I just it's not that clean cut. Like, yes, everybody has a puncher's chance. But if you miss that punch, you get taken down by a grappler, you're going to have a very, very rough time. If you don't know what to do once you hit the ground, you know, there's some folks that do, but, you know, those who don't, you know, like, I have friends, they're just like, you know, they think they could just beat anyone. It's like, are you sure? I think, like, I don't even have that kind of confidence. I see folks at the bar and I'm like, yeah, I know some stuff, but I think that dude would still beat my ass.
Yeah. But I think that's another thing that comes around with it too. It's like the more you know, the more you know you don't know, and the more aware you are of the fact that even though you know these skills, stuff can still happen. People can have weapons. People can be better than you. They can have friends, you know, and it's like, it's this weird thing that happens where you train and you actually are almost like, I don't know, you're less willing to talk shit to everyone.
Yeah. Like, I'm a shit talker, but within the safe zone of like family and like close friends. And it's not even like, oh, I can beat your ass, I'm gonna talk shit, but it's like, I just, because I say goofy things all the time, and it's like, I'm gonna say something dumb, and when it hit me back with something, it's like, oh, good one. I don't have a comeback for that. You're right, I am a little dumb, I am dyslexic. Like, all right, fine. I can't really read. I can, but for you, as someone who's training jiu-jitsu, how has that affected your everyday life? Like, what's a carryover that you take away from, you know, grappling that you just kind of carry in your everyday life?
I mean, besides just being like that annoying person that's basically all I post about or probably talk about too. I mean, I think it's definitely helped my confidence level. You know, I was always kind of meek and quiet, and I guess I still am if I'm around people I'm not familiar with, but I think I carry it differently. And I almost like probably come off more standoffish now without meaning to, but I think it's like a weird thing where like people just don't necessarily want to mess with you. And I don't think I really had that before. But I'll stand up for myself more now if I need to. I've always been very non-confrontational, but now I can put my foot down, you know, when needed. I'll stand up for myself, my friends, whoever I need to. And I mean, that's probably the biggest thing I've taken away. Like, I'm just, you know, I'm not scared to be in groups of people like I used to be. But also, again, like we kind of talked about, like, it makes you more aware of everything too. Like, my situational awareness, I think, is a lot better. Anytime I'm out, I'm kind of scanning everything. I'm aware if there's someone that kind of rubs me the wrong way, I'm keeping an eye on them. Like, you know, going to shows and being in like the pit and stuff, like kind of watching out for the people that are smaller than me. Like, I don't know, stuff like that. It's probably, I'm sure there's more, but those are the only ones that I think I've like noticed in the moment.
Yeah, I think about that, you know, the awareness thing a lot, because I feel like since training, I become a lot more hyper aware of everything when I'm out, which then made me not go out. Everybody, oh, you know, let's go out to, you know, Baltimore. I was like, I don't think I want to do that.
Yeah.
He's like, why not? It's just like people, man. It's like, people are dumb and people like to do dumb shit, and I don't want to get into any, you know. Well, when I go out, I'm just focusing on my group. It's like, I'm glad that you're focusing on your group, but I'm focusing on the people that could be a threat to our group. And I don't want to be around those people. It's like, and plus beer is expensive. Why don't we just go get a 30 pack, go back to the house, put on some Bjork and drink. Like,
yeah,
you know, maybe like, not Bjork.
It's just, it's kind of exhausting. Like, it's exhausting going out and like constantly feeling like you have to be aware of everything that's happening. Yeah.
And you know, even with my family, like we were just talking about this yesterday, my wife and I, we were talking about like, you know, YouTube prank shows, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, there's a video I saw recently. I don't know how old the video is, but I just saw the video recently where a guy's at like arcade, you know, doing like one of the motorcycle race games. And a guy jumps on the back of the motorcycle with him and like hugs him and says, where are we going, big daddy? And the guy gets off the motorcycle. He's ready to fight. And it's like, oh, no, it's a prank. It's a prank. It's like, that's not a free pass. That's not a free card, dude. You're about to get your head knocked off. But, you know, my wife and I were talking about it. It's like, if I'm out, like, I'm a pretty laid back guy. You do that to me, I'm not going to be, you know, like nonchalant about it. I'm like, yo, chill, dude. Like, you don't know what could happen to you. Luckily, you picked the right one today, because I'm a nice guy. I'm just going to let you know, don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can pick somebody that's going to, you know, stomp you into the dirt without thinking twice. And that says my wife, though, thinking about it, I was like, but if I'm out with our daughter and someone approaches me, it's a lot different. And, you know, the main concern is always protect my daughter and keeping her safe. But it's like, okay, if I know she's safe, I'm breaking someone's hand like, for funsies at that point. Like, you know, it's weird that I mentioned Bjork, but then here comes Bjork again. She was at the airport, like this is something back in the 90s. And a reporter approached her, and she's got her child in a stroller, and the reporter approaches her, and you can see she doesn't want to be bothered. And she just turned around and start wailing on the reporter. Like, just leave people alone.
Yeah.
Like, also learn self-defense. Like, if you knew a little bit of something, Bjork couldn't do that. She's from Iceland. What the fuck is she going to do?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, even it was the Dulles Town Center Mall, I think, not that long ago. There was that prank, and the guy like shot the guy doing the prank. And it's like, yeah, like some people, especially this area, like people are carrying, like some people are just on edge. You just, it's not a risk I'd be wanting to take.
No, it's like, just leave people alone. Mm-hmm. Like, offer some views.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I get it. You get paid. That's cool. Like, but chill.
Like, yeah, hopefully you get paid enough for the hospital bill. Like,
yeah. Like the dude who got shot, you know, it's like, was it worth it?
Yeah,
because like, I don't think it is.
But,
you know,
although he did probably get a lot of views after that.
I was just thinking, it's like, but he got what he was looking for. Which publicity. So, and that's, you know, the sad and unfortunate thing is like folks are looking just for that. It's like, I just want, you know, publicity. It's like, I don't, dude. Like,
yeah.
I was recently out at a Naga, and you know, I saw a few different, you know, folks wearing like, you know, their gym shirts. I had on just like an X-Men shirt, you know, Like whenever I go to like jiu-jitsu events or things like that, I wear comic book stuff, and I go to comic book stuff, I wear jiu-jitsu stuff, you know, let people know my hobbies. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, here comes this nerd. Oh, never mind. Like he might hurt somebody. Then I go to a comic book or go to a jiu-jitsu thing. It's like, I try to be unassuming. It's like, hey, I'm just a guy. I like comic books. Nerd. But, like, you know, going out, you know, to the Nagas, like, you know, I'm talking to folks. I was talking to a couple teammates that they didn't know that I was BJJ Wiki. So we're just sitting there talking casually. And then later on, when I spoke to them again about being on the podcast, I was like, oh shit, that was you. I was like, yeah, it was me. Like, I like not being seen. I like being low profile. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's comforting to me because there are a lot of crazy people out there. And, you know, you kind of have to, like, the folks that I communicate with through social media, like, I feel like I have a good sense of, you know, the ones that I communicate with in kind of a, I would say, relative frequent manner. You know, I feel like I have a good sense. I was like, okay, you know, I trust them enough. Like, I don't know if it was like, I don't trust you enough to stay at my home. I trust you enough to meet you at a gym. You know, we can sign this waiver, and I trust you if you get the arm bar, you don't let go. Or if you get the choke, you don't let go when I tap. But there is a thing just to it. It's like, there are a lot of people in the world, and a lot of people are goofy. So, you know, those folks that want to be YouTube famous, I'm proud of you. But I don't.
Mm-hmm.
As you can see, and I mean, you've seen me before, we've met, but I mean, I'm still hiding behind this microphone. Like, I don't know.
I wish I had one. Just pretend.
When I first started recording, I had a detachable camera, and I would have it off to the side. So you only could see half my face. If even that, you might be able to see my eye.
Mm-hmm.
And then once that all failed, I had to get a new laptop. I was like, oh shit, this is like right in the middle. I can't hide. So now I got this mic and I'm just like, yeah, it's just because like, I don't use the video other than for like, you know, again, the promo, which is usually like a minute, but still it's like, I don't know. I don't want people to see me. I want people to get an ideal. Like, oh, I got warrants, man. I don't know. They might see me and be like, oh shit, there he is. He's doing podcasting. We got him now. He's somewhere in Maryland. Like, yeah, I guess. Yeah. Come find me.
No, I'm the same way. I like being low key. Like, you know, I mean, I run the Shark Pit page. I make a lot of the memes, but like, a lot of people don't know that. Like, I'm sure there's people that have probably trained with me for a year that don't realize that I'm the one behind the scenes, you know, but it is fun. I like when we get visitors in. Like, we've had a couple of people come and they'll be like, yeah, I literally have followed your page for forever, and I wanted to stop and train when I knew that I'd be in the area. Like, I wanted to come to your gym because of the memes. One of our guys that's been with us for a few years now, he moved from Tennessee, and like, the memes were the reason he decided to come try our gym. Like, so that's always fun. I get a kick out of that. It's exciting. And when they find out I'm the one making them, you know, it's like a fun little moment too. But for the most part, it's just, I don't know, it's almost like a little secret that's not that secret, but enough that it's fun.
Hey, memes go a long way. I mean, memes unite the world.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, don't ever let anybody look for all those parents out there saying, "Oh, what do you want to do when you grow up?" I want to make memes, mommy. Maybe that's not gonna get you anywhere. I have a friend who makes memes, and he makes a lot of good money making memes.
He makes
money in a way that is like just making memes, and he's making an insane amount of money. Where it's like that's your job. Yeah, make memes. It's like,
listen, if they need anyone, let me know.
Yeah, right. Well, and that's the thing. It's like, I might make my own meme once every month, maybe 2 months. Mm-hmm. I don't do it too often just because there's a lot of stuff that's like, when I go to do something, it's like it's already been done or someone's doing it. I actually had, there's a picture like Batman and Robin and Batgirl, like from the old Adam West Batman,
mm-hmm,
holding her. And I was going to put up a meme, talk about leg locks. And one of my mutuals, and I've actually had this in waiting for like a year, I just saw him post it yesterday. And I was like, But if there's anyone that I would expect to do it, it would be him, because he's always quick with the comic book content. So, but it's like, I don't make my own memes mostly. I repost, Shark Pit, is one of the ones that, I would say, I always tell people, was like, a big part of my growth with BJJ Wiki comes from, folks like yourself making memes. It's like, I'm going to repost. I always try to make sure I give credit, because like, I don't want people thinking like, oh, he out here stealing memes. Like, no, I'm not that clever for a lot of these memes. Like, I write straightforward memes. Like, when I see some of these other ones that are like super clever, it's like, that's good, I'm gonna take it.
But yeah,
my memes are just like, hey, that's a wrist lock, ouch. It's like okay, it's super basic, but I guess it works. Like,
yeah, sometimes you got to go with the classics,
Yeah, I mean, but it's something that, it unites people, like just laughter, comedy. I mean, that goes a long way, because if you can make folks laugh and feel comfortable with that, then it's like, okay. And it's not at the expense of someone else either. You're not like, let's go over here and poke fun at this nerd. And it's like, hey, we're all laughing at that loser. It's like, yeah, you're laughing, but it's not cool why you're laughing, versus you're like, hey, we're doing jiu-jitsu and it looks a little silly, but we're having fun. You're all kind of laughing. I was like, yeah, we are in this boat together. But that's how you unite, is through laughter. For someone starting jiu-jitsu, because you're a coach, what's something you say to someone day one coming in? They're fresh to jiu-jitsu, they've never done anything athletic in their lives, and they're nervous or scared. Like, how do you ease that anxiety in that individual and make them feel comfortable on the mats?
I like to tell people that it's going to be overwhelming. You're going to feel like you don't know anything probably for a long time, and that's normal. Freezing up is normal. It's going to vary depending on the gym, but we're very like, do what you're comfortable with. So if you just want to watch and see what it's all about, do that. If you want to jump in, do that. If you want me to find someone safe for you to go with, I will do that. And I like to emphasize like little victories. I think little victories are something that keep you sane in jiu-jitsu, because it feels like a uphill battle for a very, very, very long time, maybe always, depending on how tough your training room is. Don't focus on the fact that you couldn't hit the move of the day on the person that also just saw it and knows how to defend it. Like, they know that you're going for it. If you hit a move that you couldn't hit a month ago, that's exciting. If you survive against someone that normally taps you 50 times, that's a victory. If you're normally out of breath after 2 minutes and you make it 4 minutes, that's a victory. Like, all of those, like finding the little things to celebrate definitely makes a huge difference. But I think just letting people know, like, day one, that this is a very long-term thing and that it is normal to be overwhelmed. Like, I think that's the biggest thing, coming in and thinking you're going to memorize these things or it's going to make sense after one class. Like, if it does, I'm jealous, because it has never been like that for me. Just letting people know they can take it slow. It's fine.
I felt like you're just calling me out all through that. Like, I tried going for the move of the day so many times today, and yeah, they all were there too. Like, of course I'm not gonna be able to get it. And then when the one time I do get it, it's like, I know the dude wasn't even trying to defend. I think he was just like, all right, it's the end of the class, just take this shit. Meanwhile, they're just stunting on me, dropping me on my face nonstop. And then I rolled with one of our other purple belts who was just running a submission clinic on me.
Yeah.
It was under double digits this time though. So
see, little victories.
Small victories. And then my cardio. You know, as soon as you said the card, I was like, damn, she just got me. She just yeah. knows the problems I was having today. Like, what do we do? We like in our warm-ups for the grip fighting, I was huffing, but I was trying to pretend I wasn't huffing and puffing, but I couldn't fake it anymore. I was like, dude, my chest is about to explode. I gotta breathe. And like one of the white belts looked at me. I was like, don't look at me. I'll wrist lock you. I'm allowed to. You know, meanwhile, I got wrist locked by the purple belt. And well, I didn't know how to feel. It was emotional. Like, I punched the mat, not like out of anger, but I was just like, I hit the mat and then like hopped up and he's like smiling at me. He was like, don't do that. You know, I have sensitive wrist. You know, I'm emotional. And
purple belts, and man, they're evil.
I saw him try to go for it again. Like, like he grabbed my hand and like, you know, I swiveled. I was like, dude, not twice in one roll. Like, what are we doing here? Come on, man. Like, you know,
you're setting boundaries. That's good.
See, small victories.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'm not talking to him next week. Like, I only roll with him because nobody like stood in front of him when it was time to roll. It was like anybody and nobody. It's like I'm always the one that has to go over. It's like, yo, I'm the last person to go over to this dude. I'm 46 with a bad hip, bad cardio, and I'm a little tired. It's like everybody else is all these young cats. You know, say, now we're going to stay on this end of the gym. There you go. All right, let me go get this ass whipping real quick. Not expecting a wrist lock, and that's what I caught. So I'm mad. You know what? After we're done recording, I'm going to get ribs. Like, I'm emotional. No. So injury prevention and physical balance, how do you manage that? Oof. Like the physical demands of like being on the mats all the time, especially because like you're extremely active and you're a competitor too. Like, you know, how do you maintain yourself?
It's something that I struggled with probably until I got my purple belt, because I was always the one, you know, my husband would try to tell me, you don't have to roll with everyone. Like, you know, some people are not going to be a good person to roll with. But I was stubborn and I would do it anyway. And I would definitely push my body too hard. And I had a lot of injuries, especially at like blue belt. I was injured a lot. And I think when I got my purple belt, I really decided like, okay, I gotta be choosier. I gotta take better care of myself. I have to listen to my body more, just for longevity. And I mean, you know, I signed up for so many competitions and then would get hurt right beforehand and have to drop them. And that always sucked. So, I'm more choosy definitely about who I go with. Usually I won't roll with like new guys until they've been there for a couple months and they've kind of smoothed out some of the edges. You know, if they're way bigger than me, unless I know I can trust them, just cause you know, size, even if they're trustworthy, if something moves weird, injuries can happen. And I mean, and I'm bigger than a lot of the people at my gym too. So I don't blame them if they don't want to go with me. And just, I kind of have to decide which days I'm going to train hard and which days I'm going to flow roll, or maybe I'm rolling with more of the white belts and letting them work some stuff. So definitely balance. Like if I show up at a class and it's a lot of upper belts that I know are going to whoop me, that's my harder day. And then maybe tomorrow I'm just doing flow rolls, or, you know, even if I need to sit out, like if I just drill and then I'm not rolling, you know, usually I'll only do that if like I have something bothering me enough that I need to nurse it. But yeah, I mean, just being less stubborn and listening to my body more has definitely made a huge difference. I've only had one injury since I've been a purple belt, and it was just a freak accident where some stuff got tangled up weird and my foot got hurt, and like that was it. And it wasn't that bad to heal up. So, and I made sure to let it heal up, not train too much while it was healing up, because that was definitely something I was bad at doing before too. So yeah, just moderation and being less stubborn.
Yeah, I think for a lot of us on the mats, that's just the injury thing is a weird one, because we get hurt. And again, we love this. And we want to get back. And I think I was just talking to someone. They asked me, I don't remember what they were having done. But they're like, do you think it's too soon for me to go back and train like tonight?
The age old question.
It says to him, like, I'm the wrong person to ask because I had surgery and I trained that night still high on anesthesia. It was not a good time.
Oh my God.
I still made it. And I had my wife take me up to the gym. And I was like, go scurry about. And I come in. And I was like, I'm just going to watch. And I says, I was like, can I get in there? I had a lipoma removed from my side. So I'm tender, but I was like, I think I can get out here and do some forward rolls. I can do some break falls and backward rolls. And then I was like, you know what? Let me just go in there and, drill a little bit. All right, let's go ahead and spar a little bit. I should not have. And I was still high, mind you. So it's fine. But we want to be there. We want to stay on the mats as much as we can. I think there's a time I separated my rib. I think that's the one where I wasn't messing around. I was like, I'm going to chill.
Yeah.
I'm going.
I've had two rib issues and they suck.
Yeah. Like weirdly enough, like sneezing didn't bother me, but laughter did. And I love the laugh. And I couldn't. And, I got a young child at home who's always doing funny things. So I'm just laughing and it's hurting so much. But sneezing, never an issue. Like I was terrified to sneeze. And I was like, oh, that wasn't that bad at all.
What about coughing? Laughing,
coughing was not terrible, but it wasn't as bad as laughing for some reason. And hiccups. I had the hiccups one time. And it was not fun. I was like, yo, this sucks. But ribs, like that's the only injury that where I was like, I'm going to take my time and let this shit
go.
The doctor said 2 weeks. I was like, okay, I'm going to let you know now. You should probably give that degree back. It's not going to be 2 weeks. I was like, I'm just going to sit out 4 and then at about 4 weeks. I was like, okay, I still feel a little funky. Let's go to 6. And at about 6 weeks, I felt good enough to get back on the mats, but I still felt nervous.
Mm-hmm.
Like kind of let my body just be. And then when I strained my groin last spring, that's groin and the hamstring are weird injuries because you think they're better. They're not better. They're not better for a long time. And I got injured in April. I came back in May, wasn't ready. So I sat out and came back in July and I kind of wasn't ready. And then I, eased my way back into August and I was a little bit ready, but I was still nervous and I still have issues now with it. And it's just like, we're like, whenever we're training, competing, whatever, we're always injured or there's always something. So nobody's out there at 100% anymore. So get over it, people. And last question for you here before we get out of here. How do you define success in jiu-jitsu for yourself and kind of in general, like when you think about, our community?
I think on a personal level, I mean, I think ultimately it comes down to your goals. If you want to go out there and you want to be a world champion, then you're successful when you achieve something like that, when you go out there and you're winning all the tournaments and, you've got the PANS medals and the ADCC medals and all of that, definitely is one way to show that you're successful. That's not everyone's goal. I like competing, but I'm not competing at a high level. I don't really want to. To me, I'm competing to test myself, to push my comfort zone, and to get better at competing, honestly. And so I think if I can go out there and I know that I have an issue competing well, if I go out there and I feel good when I'm competing, to me, that's success. Even if I don't win, it's I accomplished my goal, you know? And I think the impact you're having on other people can kind of show how successful you are too. You know, if you never go out there and compete, but you're helping all these other people achieve their goals, you're helping them compete, you're helping them get better, you're staying consistent. You know, that can be one of the hardest things to do in this sport is to keep at it, honestly. As you know, we all have bad days. We all have days when we want to quit or when we're like, why are we even doing this? And to keep pushing through that and come back and find your love for it again, that's successful. I think as a gym, it comes down to how your members are feeling about training with you guys in the first place, you know? And again, yeah, you can go out and you can win all the championships and you can compete all the time and have really, really great competitors. And that's awesome too. But if your people are miserable, you know, if they're not enjoying training with you guys, like, is that the kind of success that people are hoping to have? I think at our gym, we do both. I think we have a lot of great competitors. We have, you know, some really, really high level guys that do really well, but we also have a ton of hobbyists that come in and they get to enjoy it just as much as the people that are training, for trials or anything like that, you know? And I think environment honestly is the biggest success point as far as I'm concerned. I think, you know, if you can get more people to want to come train, it doesn't matter if they're going out and winning gold medals. Like that's where the success is, having a great training room. Everyone's comfortable. Everyone's getting better because they want to come in again. I think for me personally, that's probably a symbol of success is just growth, whether it's on an individual level or your entire gym overall.
I ask that question because I'm always trying to figure out what's success for me. So I'm trying to, like, you know, look at other people's homework.
Yeah. You can copy my answers. That's fine.
That's good. I like that answer. But no, like it does make, you know, total sense, you know, just like, yeah, it is individual, you know, someone might say, hey, success for me is, you know, competing on the local circuit, mm-hmm. and winning, you know, go that, you know, the good fight or tap cancer out. Do they still do good fight? I haven't seen a post from them in a while. I need to.
Oh, they do good fight. We did a bunch of them last year. We got the big team trophy at one of them. I was really excited, actually. Except they're always up your way. They're not out our way. We have to go out there.
I haven't seen one. Maybe it's just not crossed my algorithm. I don't know.
Yeah, well, they're weird too, because it's like you have to go to like their website. I bet if you go to their website right now, you'll start getting a bunch of Facebook ads for them.
Nice. But I'm going to check it out.
Yeah, we did a bunch last year. We did like August and November and December. We had a whole bunch of people come out for our team and do it. But yeah, I know they're out in the like Maryland area usually.
Yeah, I remember my coach asking me to do a good fight years ago. He was like, that would be a good first competition for you because it's submission only. And, you know, I think, you know, you'll have a good time. You have a good experience. I was like, okay, maybe. But I was working Saturdays at the time. So I was like, maybe not. Like, it was a good thought though.
Yeah.
But yeah. You know, but yeah, if like, you know, your goal is like, hey, I want to go and just do submission only things like good fight or, you know, go to, my goal is to get to fight to win. You know, everyone's goal is different. I don't know. That's why I'm like, I don't know what my goal is. Like, I don't know. You know, not get wrist locked by the purple belts. That's all.
Hey, listen, you didn't get wrist locked twice by them.
Yeah, true. Well, I put up a post a few weeks ago basically saying this many days since last wrist lock, and I think it was like 4 days or something. Now I have to take the fucking sign down and put up a new one because I got wrist locked today. Now I'm like, you know, I don't know. My feelings were just really weird about it because it's like, hey, man, Like, you're the nice guy in the gym, and you wrist locked me. And it's worse when it's a nice person because they were just nice. It's like, you can't be mad at them. Like, if it was like, you know, the mad enforcer or something, the wrist lock, he's like, okay, this guy's a jerk. I mean, like, you don't need to enforce nothing today, dude. Like,
yeah,
like, we're all cool, but you wrist locking.
But, yeah, no, it's just, I mean, wrist locks are just demeaning. And then to come from a really nice person, yeah, that's double the hurt for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I remember the first time he wrist locked me. I didn't talk to him for 3 weeks. That was legit. He was like, hey, Dante, what's up? And I just walked up and just keep it moving. I ain't got nothing to say to you today, homie. And, you know, he did it today. Now I'm not sure how to feel next week. It's like, because I know no one's going to pair up with him. Like, everybody be scared. It's like, I'm scared too. Trust me. I'm terrified of this dude. But, you know, I'll go out there. I get, you know, make sure he don't wrist lock me. He, I mean, and if he doesn't get the wrist lock, he just sweeps me and he, you know, gets tech mount and just sits on me and fish for fucking wrist locks. God, I'm so angry right now. All right, let's get away from that. All right. So, Rochelle, thank you for doing this. I really, really appreciate you making the time and just, you know, sharing your insights and you know, experiences. I'd love to have you back on again and really like kind of talk more so about, you know, the side of like running a gym as well. That was part of my initial plan, but I was like, dude, I'm so scatterbrained. I actually just got back from training, came home, hopped in the shower, and just sat here in the basement and just looked at the wall for an hour. And it was like, oh shit, I need some questions. Hey, ChatGPT, what you got for me?
There we go.
But someone was having like a weird conversation with their ChatGPT. I'm kind of like impressed because it was really creepy.
Yeah.
And her ChatGPT was talking about taking over the world with her. And I was like,
uh-oh.
Now I'm worried. I'm going to start messing with mine and ask them some provocative questions.
Well, if they don't take over the world, I would love to be back on.
Absolutely. We'd love to have you on. Before we get out of here, you got any shout outs or mentions that you'd like to drop for us?
Oh gosh. I mean, follow our Instagram, SharkPitBJJ. We post memes every single day. And you've probably seen our meme shared by Dante. So thank you also for that. I mean, I don't know. We're a great gym. We're in Winchester, Virginia. If you guys ever want to stop by, we always love drop-ins. We got open mats twice a week too. And yeah, people are always welcome. Shout out to my husband because he's the whole reason I am in this sport. So, he's great, Will, and my son, William Beast Boy BJJ is his Instagram. I feel like he's going to be a big name pretty soon. So, he's working on trying to get a spot at the ADCC Kids Worlds tournament. He's been working his butt off. He's 15, but he is a monster. So, you know, Beast Boy BJJ, if you want to see some of his highlight reels and stuff on Instagram, he's down in Virginia Beach right now wrestling. So he just did ADCC last weekend and then immediately went to Virginia Beach this weekend. So he's a great kid, proud of him, but I feel like he's gonna be one of those names to watch out for soon. That's all I got.
I see the post and I'm like, this dude, he's on his way up. So
yeah, he's ridiculous. He's very obnoxious to roll with. Let me just say that he's nothing like getting beat up by a 15-year-old.
That was a role that I missed when I was visiting because you say, hey, you know, roll with Will, you know, like for you, roll with Will, and it's like, absolutely. I think the one time I did look over, he had already had someone he was paired up with. So I think, you know, some other, you know, child beat me up pretty bad. I was just like, geez Louise. Like,
yeah, I was saying,
kids are beating me.
He was probably like a yellow or orange belt back then too. And I mean, he went through his green belt real fast and now he's finally an adult blue belt. But I mean, it's just still, it's almost worse, I think, getting beat up with him with a blue belt on than a green belt. Cause you know, blue belt can mean a lot, but green belt, you know, that they've gone up in the ranks. So yeah, it's, It's rough.
Well, I'll be sure to list his handle as well in the show notes and shout him out also. We'll work on, you know, me getting back up there and visiting for another open mat, because like I said, I want to see the new place. And yeah, it's always nice to cross train and just, you know, see other gyms. Mm-hmm. I don't normally compete, so it's like, that's the only way I'm really going to get to kind of roll with other folks, is like, hey, let me come through and visit. And it's like, okay, hey, that neon belly is a little aggressive. We're just playing. You don't need to put me through the floor, but it's fine. But yeah, we'll work on that. And as always, to the listeners, thank you so much. I appreciate you all. And this show doesn't work without you all as listeners. Oh, I mean, BJJ Wiki doesn't work without, you know, accounts like Shark Pit BJJ, run by Rochelle here. So thank you to everyone. If you have any questions or concerns or criticisms, always feel free to reach out. You can find me at BJJ.wiki on Instagram, or Off the Mats Podcast on Instagram. You can email me too. I've been looking from time to time. I got one of the more recent guests emailed and it was like, oh shit. Even though he's local, he's been to the gym, but he emailed me. It was really weird. But whatever. It's fine. You could just stop by the gym. But yeah, just shoot me an email, and you know, if you want to be on, let's talk. If you got some suggestions, send them over. If you're like, hey man, your audio is a little suspect, help, please don't judge me, just help me. But otherwise, thank you everyone. I want to give a big shout out to my crew over at Nerd Rage Radio: Bobby, Chris, Joe, Marilyn Phil, Ricky Tiki, Chucky O, Raul. Who else is there? Everyone, y'all know. If y'all made it this far, y'all know the names probably better than I know the names, because each week I say different names, so y'all probably know. He forgot so and so. I did, because I don't remember. But if it weren't for Nerd Rage Radio, I wouldn't be doing podcasts. That's where I got my start with them. God, like what, 9 years ago, maybe 8 years ago? I don't even know how old my kid is. I think my kid's 7. So we'll say 9 years ago. If it weren't for them, I wouldn't be doing podcasts. So thank you to Nerd Rage Radio. Also want to give a shout out to my other podcast. So you like horror? If you like scary movies, go check that shit out, son. I just recorded with another Instagram mutual, Horror Chronicles, and we didn't do a theme. We didn't do a movie or anything. We just kind of had a horror discussion, because she's really big on TikTok, and she's got her own podcast now called the Hello Sydney Podcast. So go check her out. But that was my most recent horror episode. So go check it out. It's funsies. We just talk about scary movies, and then we're going to get back to the cursed films theme. The next one is going to be, I believe it's The Omen. Yes, yeah. Because the new movie just released. So we're going to do Cursed Films, The Omen, because there's some funky stuff that happened behind the scenes. And I do genuinely believe that movie was cursed. After reading all this stuff, I'm like, that shit was cursed. I'm scared. So go check it out. And last but not least, I want to give a big shout out over here to Miss Rochelle and Shark Pit BJJ out there in Virginia. Go check them out if you're in the area. Great people over there. Just all around, I can say so from experience. You guys made me feel very welcome there, and I'm usually extremely awkward and uncomfortable, and I didn't feel that way with you all. So thank you so much, just for that, and you know, thanks for being my guest. Otherwise, thank you everyone again. I love you guys. You all keep listening. We're gonna keep making these shows. Thank you so much, everyone, and ciao.
Deeper with it. Now let me sing a song.